This podcast is part of the Podcavern Network. Check out other Podcavern shows at podcavern.com. Oneiric.
Year 5. I'm not going to lie, Deirdre. A lot has happened since my last message. I organized my thoughts a bit before I started recording, I'll tell you that much. None of this is just extempore. Okay, elephant in the room? Yes, my voice is a little different. Yes, it's because I got me a cyborg throat. The last time I spoke to you, Deirdre, I foolishly celebrated the fact that I hadn't lost a body part in a while. Well, I was testing the Lord my God, wasn't it? Right. Kind of awesome nature where I'm staying just now. So, Handel's Te Deum. How's that sound? That sounds good, actually. I'm on Gipfelgau. That's a mountain retreat, really verdammt high in the sky, on a plateau, sort of buffeted with a kind of wind you'd only see in a fantasy movie. About 3 clicks up trail of the next hatch, which is not the one that was guarded by that bear, Mir, back on Schettfir. That one is at least 1,000 kilometers back. Nowhere near here. I have been a good walker in the last year and a while, Dee. I walked, and then something happened, and I stayed in one spot for a while. Then I walked some more to get here. As I say, Gipfelbrau Monastery. Lutheran, with a mosque adjacent. Good people. Fine organ in Great Nick, which is amazing for a place you can only reach by foot or air. We recorded a thing of mine, the Sanctus of my setting of the Mass, soprano, baritone, and organ. I can inflict it on you another time. It's no Handel, obviously. It doesn't sound like I organized my thoughts before I started the omnibook, does it? Okay. More than a year ago in the waking world. Usual caveat, unless I'm still somewhere in the dreaming. Never entirely sure anymore. Lana and I made it back to Mir's broken hatch with the parts Val needed to repair the Fadam thing. For the record, and you can look this up if you like, we'd bought a Voigtkampf ventilator, a brace of coordinating pistons, well, 2 braces, because I managed to destroy the first one, and a sacred heart. It's really a cut garnet, you understand? The name is just a mildly heretical joke in hatch circles. Once infused, which was my job, it serves as a concentrator. Hatch circles? Oh yes. Hatch enthusiasts are a bunch of nerds. Same as baseball fans and macrame clubs. I did infuse it, you know. If you'll remember, I wasn't sure I could. Well, I can. For that thing is near enough too hot to hold in your bare hand now. Yay me. Val was, grudgingly, laudatory. Have you ever tried to do a fairly involved and delicate job with a giant, easily irritated cyborg bear looking over your shoulder? Turns out it's not that easy. Eventually, Lana, that's the Lana in her early 20s, saved our butts by engaging Mir in a long conversation some way to the side. I don't know what they talked about, but that bear was engrossed. I imagine it was at least partly about riddles. I hate riddles. Val kept stealing kind of suspicious glances at my daughter, but he wisely kept his counsel. I think he knew I'd stuff the sacred heart up his verdammt nose if he crossed the line. But I could tell he had opinions. I helped as well as I could, but my thoughts were with Danica, to tell you the truth. They so often are, now that I remember my life with her. Remembering forward, don't you know? Favorite kind. Eventually, Val tripped the last switch, and oh my lord, the music of the hatch. Up close, eye-watering. We hoofed it back to Lana's double-quick. That night, Lana told me she wasn't coming with me. I'm glad I found you again, she said, and we will meet again with Mother too, if God wills it. But I am not on the big long road. I'm not trained for it. I'm not interested in it. I've never been through a hatch. And now I've heard the racket Mir's hatch makes, I'm glad the house is far enough away from it to let me sleep. She frowned. I'm kind of worried it will interfere with the bees, if I'm being truthful. It just might, I said. No sense cozening her. I rummaged through my memory of all the years I spent studying hatch lore on multiple levels of the dreaming. Hell, some of it took place in the waking world as well, no doubt. It just might have that. She sighed. Do you want me to stay and help you move the hives? I asked. That's sweet, she said. But you should get back on the big long road. That's where you belong. You sound like a birthday card, I said. She laughed. Yeah, belong is one of those putrid words, isn't it? I just mean you made a promise. To, Herr Gustavo, was that his name? It was, I said. Still is, in the dreaming. As far as he's concerned, I'm still in training. And he never lets me forget that promise. Well, you did make it. To him. To God. Mom was really proud of you being a walker, you know. You still being a walker, I mean. Not being done. Not having arrived somewhere just yet. She stared at me with such penetrating intensity that I let my gaze drop to the floor. I felt like a cat. There's nothing wrong with getting off the big long road because you got to where it ends for you, I said. Real self-conscious now. Your mother should know that. It's not necessarily about dying on the road. Doesn't have to be. She made a face. Honestly, I wasn't following that conversation as well as I would have liked, Dee. In any case, she said, I'm staying here, and you need to get back on the trip. You're leaving with Val? I nodded. That's the idea. You mind him. That surprised me. What does that mean? No matter how much I pressed her on that, she never did elucidate her statement. Just, you mind him, and spoke of other things. I don't know, Dee. We left the next day, but Lana didn't come with Val and me to the hatch. We said our goodbyes on the porch. She gave me a locket with a life clip of her and Danica leaning against the gate at St. Gemma's on one side, and the entire text of the Credo in Latin on the other. Credo in unum Deum, patrem omnipotentem, and all that. It really should say parent instead of father, but it's an important text. I could have cried. Probably did. In a way, I was leaving after 20 years. Mir came to see us off. Sorry. Tramping through the trees like an avalanche. Any joy that bear felt at guarding a live hatch again was really tempered by his promise that we could go through without answering his verdammed riddle.
Are you sure you don't want to hear it in any case? He rumbled. You don't have to answer true to use the hatch. That's fine. I gave you my bond. But you could give it a try.
Vol shook his head without a word, but I couldn't help myself. I'd rather squeeze lemon slices into my eyeballs, Mir, I said, trying to make my meaning plain, you understand, Deirdre?
It's a good riddle,
the bear said sadly. I felt bad at having hurt his feelings, I suppose, but this was the bear that had spoken quite glibly of eating us all if we didn't succeed in our repair work, you might remember.
A really good riddle.
I'm sure the next walkers to come along will think so as well, I said, and Vol and I stepped through. On the other side, that was muddy and close, hot and humid and full of buzzing insects. Completely different planet. I felt heavier. We walked together for months this time, but again, we got to a point where it seemed perhaps wiser to split up and just meet now and then in the dreaming instead. Not that Val likes the dreaming all that much. He's verdammt wary of it.
So long as Lana's not around to push you in deeper, he said when we parted, in friendship, I suppose.
But it was pretty strained friendship just then. It's because he says shit like that that we can't walk together for too long before it goes fooey.
Look, he'd said, I'm happy you found yourself a daughter.
I didn't find myself a daughter. I have a daughter. I remember raising her with my wife. He made a sort of placating gesture with both hands raised.
All right, sure. The thing is, Vance, and I say this as someone who likes the girl. She's very nice, no question. She's lying to you.
Is she? I said. I was keeping my voice level and everything.
About what? She is on the big long road. Or she was. Or she will be.
I was stunned and angry. I had not been expecting him to say that. How do you mean? How can you know? He shrugged.
I'll let you find that out yourself. What about the dragon?
This conversation was making my nose bleed.
What dragon? Lana said the hatch near her house was guarded by a dragon in the lake. It wasn't. It was guarded by a bear in the trees.
He shrugged again.
She's on the big long road. Either she's lying about it, or, best case, she hadn't started out yet when we met her.
He looked at me, real earnest-like. Vol always looks verdammt earnest. It's his superpower.
I have a feeling she's more than what she seems. That's all. You see your daughter, so you're a little foggy about it, but I see... Well...
What? I asked. Coldly, I don't mind saying.
A person who's dragging you in deeper. Who's pointing at places you don't need to go.
Okay, that was enough, Dee. I took a deep breath.
Vol,
I said. I love you. But I think I'll walk on my own for a while now. He nodded. He seemed sad.
Yeah. Just think about it.
He gave me a half-smile.
Ask Herr Gustavo what he thinks.
He turned on his heel and left. As he walked away, he said,
May the big long road bring you somewhere.
I think he meant it kindly, but fuck it, it sounded mean to me. Didn't see him for months and months, not even in the dreaming. Well, that's not quite true. I saw him once, on a red beach somewhere on some level of the dreaming, near a library where I'd stopped to read about infusion, but we didn't even speak, is what I mean. Not even sure he noticed me. Then I made it to the hatch that took me here. Now that hatch was in the middle of a marsh, and I was surrounded by beautiful red flowers, roses, or giant peonies or something. Their leaves gleamed with a metallic sheen. The flowers were swaying to the music of the hatch, like dancing, you know? And I wouldn't swear they weren't singing too. It was like stepping inside Act 2 of Parsifal. As I walked across the marsh, with my feet getting wet and gooey, I could tell the flowers were not happy I wanted to go through the hatch. I'm sure a whole novel could be written about that hatch, that marsh that smelled of cinnamon, and those dancing flowers with the razor leaves. But look, I'm getting tired, and this anecdote isn't as significant as it sounds. Not to me, it wasn't anyway. They're not all guarded, you know, the hatches. But I seem to be hitting the dangerous ones all in a row. Did I say dangerous? Well, judge for yourself. I pulled my sword out of its scabbard, for all the good it did me. Did I tell you I haven't actually bested a foe with a verdammt thing since I yanked it out of the tree? I think it was just a milestone on the big long road. As I got to about 20 meters away from the glistening surface of the hatch, just as my nose was starting to itch from that C major chord, the flowers snapped into action. They tripped me, they flipped me on my back, they immobilized my hands and feet, and my scream of outrage was cut short when they straight up ripped my fucking throat open. I lay there, bleeding to death, sinking in the muck. Pretty startled, to be honest. I mean, it hurt like fuck, obviously, but I nearly didn't notice. I was so stunned. I heard a war cry. I saw petals exploding in all directions. I saw Val's face swim into view. I fainted. I woke up 2 weeks later, in a bed, in a dispensary, in the valley at the foot of this mountain range, with a new voice box. Val was nowhere around, and I haven't seen him since. Just saved my behind, brought me through, brought me there, left money at the Sabo counter, and left altogether. Anecdote ends. I'm a little more metal at this point, but that's it. That was months ago now. This specific mountain, which is the highest of the bunch, is called Kahlenberg. Gipfelgau is at the top. As I said, nice place. They keep a techie on staff, can you believe that? Verdammt weird, if you ask me. Mildly suspicious, even. The big long road is just one damn thing after another, D. Not unlike life. Now, I sound like a fun birthday card. Give your daughter a kiss from me. Tell your boss to stop being an asshole, or your cyborg cousin 10 hatches away will haunt him forever. All my love to you and yours.
Notes to Oneiric, Year 5, by Tefer Troy, Doctoral Candidate, Alternative Narrative Traditions, Université de Montréal, February 11, 684. UDM ID TT603782. I don't think I'm being unfair when I say that the structure of this episode is not as effective as it could have been. Val's departure is immediately undercut by having him reappear at the end of the very same episode to save Wanderer's life. I agree with the academic consensus, une fois n'est pas coutume, that it would have been much more impactful to leave Val off stage for a while longer before letting him return. This episode is a veritable cornucopia of references and allusions. The Voight Kampff ventilator is a reference to the movie Blade Runner, an adaptation of Philip K. Dick's novel Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep, where something called the Voight Kampff test machine, a sort of advanced polygraph apparatus, is used to distinguish between real humans and artificially manufactured ones. The test is also to be found in the original book. Considering the increasingly robotic nature of the narrator, the name was probably not chosen at random. The Credo is an important Christian text and a part of the liturgy of the ordinary Mass. In English, it is called the Creed, and it is a statement of faith, a list of points of belief. There are a few different versions of it, but the one recited here is called the Nicene Creed. It begins with the lines, "I believe in one God, the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible." Vanderer's remark that the word parent should be preferred to father is telling. Parsifal is the last opera composed by Wagner. It is a loose adaptation of the Arthurian tale of Percival, the knight of the Round Table who eventually finds the Holy Grail. In Act II of the opera, Parsifal famously finds himself in the middle of a field of magical flowers, portrayed on stage by a company of young women. These flower maidens try to sway Parsifal away from his chosen path of righteousness. Interestingly, Parsifal is another ostensibly Christian work where the name of Jesus never appears, for all that Wagner called it the most Christian of works in a letter to his patron, King Ludwig II of Bavaria. It is not inconceivable that Wagner was being a little self-serving here. It is interesting to note that Wanderer's two most trusted advisors try to warn him about one another in this episode. It is typical of the structure of Oneirik that neither Lana nor Val, for all their strange warnings, actually turn out to be particularly dangerous. As the narrator himself observed in an earlier episode, storybook villains are rare in the lives of real people.
Arcane Ninja RPG tells a story about ninjas and magic by mixing improv and role-playing. Meet our fledgling ninja and fall for them as they take their graduation exam and stumble upon unknown magic that will send them in an epic adventure. Root for them as the dice dictate just how successfully they face the threatening challenges that lay ahead. Binge on published episodes at the Pod Cavern Network or your podcast station of choice. Tune in every other Tuesday for your bi-weekly fix of Arcane Ninja RPG.
Thanks for listening!